This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Leslie Nichols teaches fourth and fifth grades in the small town of Colbrin, Colorado, on the western slope. And she noticed a student of hers, Rosie, was distracted, falling behind. Turns out Rosie often came to class hungry, and she'd zone out, picturing her teacher as food.
Sometimes when I look at her, I vision her as a banana, so she goes like a banana. And everybody in the class is like apples or oranges. And then I'm like, oh, great.
That's from the new documentary, A Place at the Table, about the problem of hunger in the United States. It focuses on working families in Colbrin who struggle to put food on the table. The film opens Friday and comes from the same production house that released Waiting for Superman a couple of years ago. It received critical acclaim for highlighting the achievement gap in schools. With us is one of the directors of A Place at the Table, Christy Jacobson, and in from Colbrin, Colorado, is teacher Leslie Nichols. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Christy, why was Colbrin a good place to set a documentary about hunger in America?
The people in Colbrin are playing by the rules. They are trying to live their lives the American way, hardworking, independent, and yet so many people in that town were struggling to put food on the table. And I think for us, when we arrived in Colbrin and started meeting the people there who were struggling with hunger and food insecurity, it was almost like, how could we not film here? This is a hardworking community of ranchers and teachers and waitresses and all sorts of people trying to survive.
You could have gone anywhere in America. How did you find Colbrin?
We found Colbrin through one of the many organizations that we were reaching out to when we were researching the film was Hunger Free Colorado. Really what happened was right at the moment in time when we got the green light and knew that participant was going to come on board to fund the film, which meant we could get out of the office and off of the phone, there was an event happening in Denver. And myself and our cinematographer flew out to the event and said, let's just see what happens. And Kathy Underhill recommended we check out the Food Bank of the Rockies in the Western Slope.
And this is the executive director of Hunger Free Colorado.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she sent us there and we visited with some folks working at the Food Bank of the Rockies. And we said, we want to, you know, we really want to be in a town. You know, we don't want to be in the urban area of Denver or even Grand Junction, which is, you know, a city. So we just asked what's going on. And it was a Wednesday. We were told, you know, there's this community, there's this town up in the Mesa called Colbrin, and there are some people doing some amazing work there, and it happened to be a Wednesday night, and we drove on up, and Pastor Bob was holding one of his Wednesday night dinners.
This is a pastor who runs a food bank in town. We're going to talk a little bit more about him later in the interview. Mm-hmm. And Christy, when you arrive in Colbrin, you meet Leslie, a teacher in the community. Leslie, what tipped you off to the fact that hunger was a big reason why your student, Rosie, was struggling in class? How did you figure that out?
I think one of my biggest responsibilities as a teacher is to connect with any student that I work with. And I had noticed that she'd had many absences before she actually arrived in my classroom. So I knew kind of just to be prepared for a possible conversation about that. I also noticed it just in her behaviors. There was some lethargy, sometimes a little bit of attitude and not always such a free-spirited child. And just, you know, some struggle, you know, behind in academics. And so I sat down with her and we just had a really open conversation about what was going on in her day, what was going on in her life. And through that conversation, discovered that she was struggling with food insecurity and some other things. So I took that opportunity to share my own personal story.
You experienced hunger when you were a kid.
Yes, I did.
And what do you remember from that? What did you connect with Rosie on?
Humiliation at times, a feeling of being inferior to others, that feeling of desperation, not excelling in school, poor attendance.
Did a light go off in Rosie?
I think so. I don't know that I was ultimately responsible for that, but for whatever reason, we connected. And I think me being candid about my own personal struggles helped her open up a little bit, too.
Let's hear again from Rosie in the film. She lives with her parents and her grandparents. They've moved in together to make ends meet. And they experience this term we've already heard, food insecurity, not knowing where their next meal is coming from.
Sometimes we run out of food, so we try to figure out something, probably ask friends for food. We get really hungry, and our tummies just growl, and sometimes I feel like I'm going to barf because it feels bad, but I don't really know what to do.
Why is Rosie hungry? I mean, you know, I think of the opportunity to have breakfast at school, lunch at school. Families can go on food stamps. Why is this family, why is this little girl hungry?
Well, the situation, as you'll see in the film that Trish explains, is they didn't qualify. Shockingly, that family did not qualify. They were trying to feed eight mouths. But the reality is when you try to qualify in your own independent family and you are working a waitressing job, if you make even $1 or $2 over, you're not going to qualify. So
for food stamps,
the reality was this was a mother who was making, I think, about $120 every 2 weeks in trying to sustain her family on that income.
So Christy, put Rosie's situation into some context for us. I mean, how typical is her story across the country?
I mean, sadly, Rosie's story is way too typical. The combination of working parents who aren't making enough to provide for their kids and sort of outdated safety net programs like food stamps, where the means to qualify can really knock someone out when they're just making, you know, a couple of dollars over the minimum. 1 in 6 Americans and 1 in 4 kids. So Rosie is not alone.
Experience food insecurity.
Yes.
But of course, there has to be a cutoff at some point, right, for food stamps and for government assistance.
Yes. I think what we discovered in making this film in terms of our federal food safety net is that one of the problems is that it needs to be modernized. As you'll see in the film, in 1968, CBS aired a documentary that exposed hunger across this country of a different sort than people are experiencing now. But it enraged Americans and really got people up in arms. And Congress and our politicians acted. And what they did was they looked and they realized that the system is not working. In fact, a Republican and a Democrat got together, McGovern and Dole got together, and there was a real modernization and reform of the food stamp program at that time.
This was a documentary from CBS in 1968, and the host of it is Charles Kuralt.
These children, all of them, are Americans, and all of them are hungry.
So you've got a documentary of your own here, pointing to a documentary in history, and you want similar results.
Exactly. I think the discovery of the 1968 documentary early in the process of us making the film and its impact was really instrumental in our, A, setting the bar really high in what we hope the impact of our film will be, but also in just remembering, you know, the impact of film.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and we're talking about the new documentary, A Place at the Table, about hunger in the U.S., and it largely focuses on the small town of Colbrin, Colorado, on the western slope. Leslie, in addition to teaching fifth grade in Colbrin, you volunteer at a local food bank, and it's hosted by a church in town, Plateau Valley Assembly of God. Regular visitors include the town marshal. This is a man named Adam Applehands.
The way it makes me feel, it's very humiliating. I correct that. It's not humiliating. It's very grounding. The stereotype of food banks is always for the unemployed or the disabled, people that can't go out and get a job. That's not always the case.
I think the trends are that, you know, we're in really difficult times right now. And, you know, the nature of where we live means that it's expensive to purchase food locally. And it also means that you have to commute to get the food that you need. And you may also have to commute for work. And the reality is, when you put all of that together, it's very difficult to have your needs met. I mean, you can't do it on your own sometimes.
It sounds like Colburn is something of a food desert. They talk about these
it being, is, yes.
being not close yes. to like a full-service grocery store.
Yes. There is a grocery store. There's a local small market, Marigold Market. And there is a little bit of produce, but it's very limited. And it's also expensive because obviously it costs the owner a lot of money to transport it.
Help me understand something that on the surface looks like a contradiction. So this is a film about a nation struggling with hunger and at the same time struggling with obesity, Christy. How do you square those two things in the film?
One of the great discoveries that we had in the making of the film is hunger and obesity can exist in the same family, in the same person, because they're both consequences of somebody not having sufficient food to feed themselves nutritiously. And I think what we found in every single place that we filmed is that there are food deserts all over the country. And if you don't have access to healthy foods or haven't been educated about how to buy and cook healthy foods, it's really hard in this country to do that. And a big part of that is because of the way we subsidize our farm structure, making it really easy for people in low-income areas or rural areas to access cheap processed food and really difficult for them to purchase affordable healthy foods.
I mean, it's fascinating. At one point, Leslie, you admit in the film feeling badly about some of the food you deliver to families. Mm-hmm. What do you deliver and why would it make you feel guilty? Okay.
On a weekly basis, I deliver food bags, and the food bags that I deliver most of the time can vary from grape jelly, peanut butter crackers, ravioli in a can, ramen noodles, lots of ramen noodles, macaroni and cheese, combos, pretzel snacks, sometimes candy, because at the end of holiday seasons, it has Easter eggs in it, or it might be the Easter bunnies left over, or it could be the holiday, Hershey's Kisses. It could be a multitude of things. And so it can vary. But I've spent a lot of time at times while I'm delivering the food bags feeling guilty, because while I know what I'm doing is making a difference and it's helping provide them some form of nourishment, I will find myself at times thinking, if someone delivered that to my home, is that really what I want to give my kids repeatedly?
You're really conflicted at times.
Yeah, it's very conflicting.
Ladies, thank you so much for being with us.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Teacher Leslie Nichols and filmmaker Christy Jacobson talked to us about the new documentary, A Place at the Table. It opens Friday and focuses on the Western Slope community of Colburn.